listen, all you New Yorkers.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
888-808-1019. Pete off with you on the fan. Another two hours left of the show. It's flying. That's because of you. Kelvin, Stevie, Ronnie, Stewart, we'll get to you guys in a minute. But again, we'll just let him with the Jets because, and if you missed it, at 12 I came on and I was basically done with the Jets. And I am done with the Jets. And I quit the Jets. I am over the franchise that continues to be a dumpster fire, continues to be overrated and disappoint year in and year out. Like, the past two years, the Jets were supposed to be not just playoff contenders, but Super Bowl contenders. And they're missing the playoffs again, back-to-back seasons. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year, so, you know, that gives an excuse. This year, what's the excuse? What's the excuse? The excuse is that the GM and the head coach and the quarterback and everybody else that were part of this team, they're a joke. That's it. They're just a joke. They don't have any sort of unity. No one's on the same page. There's no good culture in that locker room whatsoever. And it's been like that for a long time. And as a Jet fan, I've heard stories, oh, you can't quit. You're not going to quit. You'll be back next year. No, I'm done. I am tired of watching a team where you've legitimately now had Mike Vrabel come into the building. And I don't want him there. I don't want to see another coach that I'd actually like to coach the Jets be tossed out with the garbage the next 3 years. I don't want to see it. Because I know that's what's going to happen. Because they do things ass backwards. Mike Vrabel is a good coach. He's someone that I would like to be the leader of my team. But I don't know who the hell a GM is going to be. So you're going to hire the head coach, but not bring in a good GM? And really, who makes all the decisions? It's Woody Johnson. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of a GM coming in and having to bow down to whatever Woody wants. What's the point? Just be Jerry Jones at that point in time. Okay? Just be Jerry Jones. At least we know who's making the decisions and why they're making them, even though they're making mistakes. Don't bring in puppets. Joe Douglas was a puppet. That's basically it. If Joe Douglas can't make the decisions, if Joe Douglas can't go in there and say, you know what, Woody, we're not firing Robert Saleh right now. We're just not doing it. I would have loved that. But no, you got to cater to whatever Woody wants when he wants it. I know it's his team. I know he owns it. But maybe just because you own it doesn't mean you actually know how to run a football team. I mean, it's a joke. And you had the perfect guy who actually called up and offered to sit down with the franchise in Bill Belichick. And I know it's a tough pill to swallow to be like, wow, this guy burnt us 20 years ago and then beat the crap out of us for the next 20 years. We can't do that. We can't bring him in the house. He's one of the best football minds of all time. And you turn your back on him and say no? It's disgusting. And that's the guy that should have been in here. Hey, if you brought Bill Belichick in to be the GM and then told me Mike Vrabel could be the head coach, okay, all right. I'm all ears. But I have no idea what plan they have. I have no clue what direction the Jets are going in. I have no idea where they're going to go with quarterback. We have it's either going to be a 40-year-old or a 20-year-old. That's what it is. Either a 40-year-old or a 20-year-old. Does the 40-year-old really want to come back and play? I don't even know. Are they going to push out Garrett Wilson, who is a stud, but they have Devontae Adams now because Aaron Rodgers wanted him. So let's get, maybe we don't need Garrett Wilson. Maybe we could move on from him. Like, what are we doing? What are the Jets doing? They have no idea. They've regressed at every level of this franchise, and it makes me sick. Sick enough where I'm actually saying, I'm done. I am hanging it up. I know that my job makes me watch the games, makes me talk about the team, but as a fan, done. I have no rooting interest whatsoever. I'm just going to watch them. Evaluate. That's what I'm going to do. I could watch a Nets game. I'm not a big Nets fan, but I'll watch a Nets game and evaluate it, how the Nets play. I can make opinions and be objective. And I'll do that about the Jets. But as a fan, I'm done. I have whatever they choose to do, let them have fun. I'll make fun of them the whole way about it. But I am tired of having any sort of rooting interest on this team. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to these phone calls. Again, Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan till 5 a.m. You can always hit me up at HoffWFan. And if you missed anything at all, go download the Odyssey app, hit that rewind button, and go check it out. Let's get to Kelvin, Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, Hoff? How's everything?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah. So I wanted to touch up on Pete Alonso. I 100% agree with you. The Mets need to get that done as soon as possible. He's homegrown. Yeah, sure, he had a bad year, but other than that, he's a Met. He's a homegrown guy. He wants to be here. There's nobody else out there in the market better than him. And the money's going to go up. I don't know why Mets fans are counting the dollars of Steve Cohen. The man has money. Money's no object.
Stop worrying about Steve Cohen's money. Just get the deal done, dude. That's all that matters.
Exactly. And then the second thing I wanted to touch up on, so I'm a big Giants fan, and one thing I was thinking about, I saw that Nick Sirianni is going to fit Barkley and a lot of other starters. I was thinking, I understand that they're going to make the playoffs and they want to keep their starters healthy. Totally understand that. But why is it okay for them to do that and not the Giants? Because, first of all, playoff implications, understandable. But why is it that draft implications don't get the same treatment? Well, I just find it hypocritical, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? But, well, here's the thing is that, like, we've talked about the tanking thing. First of all, it's kind of like it's a slap in the face to the players. Well,
for example, like, all right, last game against the Colts. I'm in agreement we should have never benched anybody. That game was meaningful to the Colts. There's playoff implications. They're not benching anybody, right?
Uh-huh.
But this game doesn't mean anything to the Eagles. They're benching their guys. That actually affects us on the other side of the coin in terms of the draft implications. So they can bench their guys, but we can't bench our guys?
But Calvin, think about this. And I understand your point. You're saying that, hey, you know, you're locked into the first overall pick. Why would you want to play anybody that's going to risk it? The difference is that these guys are playing for their career. Like, if you talk to any of these players and stuff like that, like, these guys are going out there. Even if you bench the players, they're still going to do their best. The players that are going to play are still going to do their best. That's the first thing.
I'm okay with having third strings out there and doing their best. I'm okay with that. But if I'm getting an Eagles team that's not at full strength, and I know where I'm at in terms of the draft, because we're thinking about this logically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why the hell should I should bench my players too? The moment I heard take one and these guys are getting benched, if I'm Dable, if I'm the GM, I'm sitting down saying, hey, listen, they're benching their guys. We should do the same. Logically, it just makes sense for the organization.
Yeah, but did you hear John Mara during the offseason? I saw a quote from him, and he basically said, he's like, I would the Eagles are a rival of ours. I'm not tanking. I am not trying to lose a game. It's important for me to win these games. So I get that.
But it's like, dude, this game doesn't matter.
but it doesn't really matter. Calvin, I'll tell you this much. It does matter. If the Giants win, right, 2 weeks in a row, if the Giants win 2 weeks in a row and the last game is in Philadelphia versus the Eagles, you know, maybe there's a little good, maybe there's a better taste in the mouth going into the offseason. Maybe Brian Daboll, you know, finds a way to rally the troops and get a little bit more faith. But like, hey, guys, trust the system. Mm-hmm. It's going to work out for us. You know, they've had bad breaks this season. I'm not going to sit here and say that they were a great team. No, they weren't a great team, but they definitely had some bad breaks. They weren't as bad as their record showed. I understand that people will take out statistics and show me different and say, oh, no, but they're the worst team in the league. Look at this. They're like the bottom of everything. Okay, yeah, but they were in a lot of games. They were in a lot of games.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter how bad they were in a lot of games. So I still think that there's something to really to build upon if you can win the last two games of the season.
No, yeah, but the thing is, I don't see where we're going long term as far as quarterback. You know what I mean? There is no picture.
But Calvin, are you telling me that you want Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward?
To be honest with you, I don't think I would have drafted them that high. Personally.
Right. So exactly. Like hell, let somebody else draft them high, and then you get somebody else later on.
Yeah, I got a feeling a quarterback that's on nobody's radar is just going to come out of the blue like last minute. Like
that,
like a Daniel Jones.
I don't want that. Well, Zach Wilson too. No, I don't want that.
Me either. But I can see something like that, like a Penix or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, listen. I mean, Penix. I got to be honest with you. When I saw Calvin, thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. When I saw Michael Penix play the Giants, I'm like, this guy's not that good. They actually had the Falcons where they wanted them. Up being 7-0, and everything was all good. And then, what was it? The fumble? Was there either a fumble or interception by Drew Lock? It just changed the whole game in a way where the pressure was off Penix. There was a quick pick, and the pressure, I think it was a pick six, and the pressure basically was taken off of Penix because he didn't have to worry about throwing the ball and trying to keep them in the game. They just run the ball. They just run the ball. They have a fantastic running back in Bijan Robinson. And they did not need to do anything else but hand in the ball. And the defense was Swiss cheese that day for the Giants. And that's it. They found the holes. But, yeah, like, Penix was not that sexy. And then I saw him last week. And I'm like, okay, he is getting comfortable. He's got a bit of an arm. So you gotta give these young guys a chance. I'm not a believer in Penix, but he's looked better than I expected. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve? What's going on?
Yeah, hey Pete. So let me ask you a question. Do you think three years at $30 million a year for Pete Alonso? Do you think that's a fair offer?
No.
I think it's more than fair. See, I think it's more than fair. Wait. And, so, and you know, so I don't know if it was you or the other guy who dragged Goldschmidt into this mess.
No, somebody else did.
Okay. So at $12.5 million a year, all right, you know, let's quantify it and say Alonzo is twice as good as Paul Goldschmidt, $25 million a year. Do you think $25 million a year is a fair number for Pete Alonso? I'm curious.
No.
No, but you think 30 is?
I think that you should give him $200 million. I said it last year that Pete Alonso is worth $200 million, and I still stick to that. And the reason why I think the Mets need to pay him closer to that is because he's going to break records for them. He's not one who's like an Aaron Judge. You could bet on yourself and play for your food. He didn't do well. He didn't. But before that,
like him as a player.
He's been consistent when he's got a contract. When you can't do anything about the money, when you can't touch the money, he's still good. He's very good. He had a down year. I'm not going to deny it.
Listen, I'm not suggesting that he's not a good player. See, I just think three, and especially in this regard, you know, using this as a point of reference, if Steve Cohen wants Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and money is the only thing, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to be on the Mets. He's going to be playing first base.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, and then I would see, tell me if you agree with this, you know, that Alonso would be more of a, you know, kind of an everyday DH, given, you know, playing first.
Okay.
You know, to give Vladimir Guerrero and Soto maybe DH, whatever they do. I could see that. But the idea that this guy would not sign a contract at 3 for $90, that's on him. I think that's incredibly fair. You know, you think he should get more money. I don't think that's going to happen.
Listen, it's funny because
in lieu of the money,
yes,
that they're going to offer Guerrero next
when they
year.
When all. They well whatever that has nothing to do with what about this year? What about right now? Like, I want to win a World Series this year. The team needs to get better. They do. I mean, they're not better than they were at the end of last year. They're just not.
Wait. So then what? At $30 million a year, do you think any other team is going to offer him more, you know, annual value?
No, but it's it's the Mets. Pete Alonso's value is more important to the Mets than anywhere else. And David Stearns doesn't want to play the game. He just says, no, this is your AAV. This is what your market's worth. This is what we're going to do. But here's the reality is Pete Alonso playing, if he goes down and finishes career with the Mets, he is going to go down as one of the best players of all time in a Mets uniform. I know that's silly to say.
I am not right. And I agree with you, but it's up to him if he wants to do that. I'm shocked that when they offered him three for 90, that he would not do that.
I won't lie, Steve. When Christian Walker signed a contract 3 for $60, I went out and put out a tweet and said, offer Pete 3 for $90, get it done right now. And I thought I honestly thought it would have happened. But in the back of my head, I'm like, dude, the guy's got Scott Boras. They're not doing that. They're looking for a long-term deal because he doesn't want to play for his money every year. He doesn't want a three-year with a one-year opt-out.
Right.
He doesn't want to do Cody Bellinger. He wants to be comfortable and call it a day.
And I don't blame him, and I agree with you, but I think at this point, his agent is giving him some bad advice. You know, 3 years, I don't know what to say.
I know. I would love to
see him back. I agree with you. He should come back. He is valuable to the Mets, and he will extend that lineup and help them. But somebody's got to bend here. If you want that to happen, somebody's going to have to bend. All right.
But I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be David Stearns.
Advice.
David Stearns is not going to bend, and that's a problem. David Stearns, I don't think, really wants Pete Alonso. And I don't know, and Steve, thank you so much for the phone call. And I don't know if Steve Cohen is going to go and tell David Stearns, hey, listen, I told you to go out and get Juan Soto to make a point. You did that for me. Now go get Pete Alonso for me again. I don't think he's going to tell him that because – like we just talked about with Woody Johnson, like your owner shouldn't be in charge of making the baseball decisions. Like that should be left to the GM, the president of baseball operations. That's what should happen. But Steve Cohen, being, you know, the guy he is, I think he's being trying to play that role well, even if he does want Pete Alonso. All right, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to these phone calls after the break. 888-808-1019. Ronnie K., Stuart, Mitchell J. Get to you guys coming up in a little bit. We'll talk more Knicks, Giants, Jets, Pete Alonso, whatever you guys want. If we're going to talk Yankees too, because You know, Paul Goldschmidt did get signed in or became official this week. Are you excited about them? Is there anything else you want to see happen? 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Pete Hoffman with you. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete off with you on the fan for another hour and a half till Richard Neer takes over. Let's get back to these phones. Ronnie K in Bayonne. What's up, Ronnie K?
Hey, Petey, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Hey, I called to touch base about, you know, with this cable thing going on, you know.
Okay.
With the networks and, you know, customers getting the shaft. But, like, you know, my thing is, and to this day, I listen to it, like, the Knicks game tonight. I listen to it on the radio. Because I cut the cord, like, 10 years ago. And at first, like, I get my regular TV, I get through, like, Hulu, you know?
Yeah.
And at first, I had MSG along with SNY. I still have SNY because I'm a diehard Mets fan. That's why I keep it. But you know, I lost MSG, like, 4 or 5 years ago, but there's nothing like listening, especially a baseball game on the radio, man. I don't know. To me, it just reminds me of my dad and stuff, like when I was younger. And, you know, I'm almost 49, so I'm a middle-aged man. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'd like to know
your thoughts on it. That's all.
No, listen, Ronnie, and thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. Dude, listen, I mean, when it comes down to radio, I mean, yeah, baseball on the radio is amazing. I mean, listening to Howie, listening to, you know, soon to be Dave Sims and Susan, but John Sterling, I mean, that is something that I could do. I mean, I look forward to driving and driving my kids around and putting the radio on and listening to the game. Like, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I think that's dope. Football, you know, I know it's mostly sitting there and being, you know, sitting down and relaxing on the couch, but I got to be honest with you. A lot of the commentators, this is what I don't like about the TV commentators, is most of them, I know they all do their research and they all, you know, it's week to week, so they're trying to figure out the matchup, and they do, but there's nothing like the home team having their announcers, or not the home team, but the radio broadcast of the team, right? Like, so I work with Bob Hoppe and Carl Banks for the Giants, and just hearing them talk, because they're not in the locker rooms all the time, but they talk to the players all the time, and to hear the reaction. But they've been with the team for a long time, and just to hear them and the way they call games fairly, it's just a really, I like that aspect. I wish that you'd be able to have it where it's like split screen, where you could watch the TV, but then have that option where if you want to hear what's on the radio, put that on as well. Like, that's, sync that bad boy up. That's the way to do it. And you can do it. To be honest with you, you can. It's not that difficult. You just kind of pause your TV, and then once you're ready, I mean, if you have that ability to pause the TV, but if you do, you just pause the TV, and then once the kickoff hits, you just sync it up, and it's right there, and it works out fine. But there is something more special about knowing the players, knowing the team, knowing the ins and outs, you know, the coaching staff and whatnot, having that relationship. It's important. It really is. And a lot of the national broadcasts, don't get me wrong, they try to do that. They'll sit there and talk to the coaches, and they'll learn some things here and there. But it's not as much as week in, week out, being with the team. And the radio, you know, for, you know, the Yankees and the Mets are great, you know. Same with the football, and if you listen to the Knicks on the radio too, that's cool as well. You know, it's all good. As I said before, the whole situation with what's going on right now with the cable and the Knicks, I hope it gets solved because it's only hurting the fans. That's all it is. Let's get to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, good morning, Hoff. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Stuart. What's going on, bro?
The thing is, my problem with the Knicks, he runs his starters during the regular season into the ground, and there's nothing left for the playoffs. I mean, he does. Why doesn't he take these guys out when they have their big 20-25-point lead late in the third quarter, whatever? Does he have to keep them out there for 40-plus minutes every night when they're winning?
Yeah, I mean, it's Stuart, and it's a good point. I appreciate it. It's tough because I see both sides. Like, those are his best players. They've gotten you to a point. You want to give them minutes off, but as soon as you give them minutes off, then the game starts to get a little bit out of hand, whatever the case is. So you trust your guys, but they don't have a deep bench right now. They really don't. And there's nothing. Chua is fine. But again, it's not enough. You have fine bench pieces, but you don't have the strong bench pieces. And I know Mitchell Robinson, when he comes back, that should help with that. But really, I mean, this is my issue. When is Mitchell Robinson going to get hurt again? Like, that's just what you're going to expect. It's going to happen. Is it going to happen soon? Is it going to happen before the playoffs? Is it going to happen in the playoffs? So, yes, they need some sort of addition, some sort of piece to fill out that bench. And how are you going to do it? I don't know. It's got to be valuable, though. You can't bring in somebody that's, off the bench minutes and then sticking up the joint. That can't happen. So, which is why he trusts the guys that are on the court. Now, listen, I'm concerned about Brunson. He seemed fine, but, he came up limp after one play early on the first half. I know he's had calf issues and whatnot, so you don't want to run these guys down too much. Ananobi, I know, went down hard on his elbow, but he stayed in the game. So, I mean, hopefully these guys are going to stay healthy throughout the entire season, but you know what's bound to happen, and I'm not trying to jinx it. Someone's going to get – you got five guys that you're basically playing 40-plus minutes a game. One of those guys is going to get hurt. It's going to happen. It's not what you want. It's going to happen. And we just hope that it's going to be something that's small and not going to be, a hinder for the whole season. Let's get to Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitchell?
Hello, Mr. Hoffman. This is a nice little surprise talking to you at 3:30 in the morning. Yep. And I get to talk after Stuart called, so that's another plus for the night.
Mitchell, are you coming back from Candlelight?
Actually, I'm coming back from the airport, but we got to do Candlelight soon, Hoff. And we got to bring Sal and BT. That'll be great. Thanks. So we'll do that.
Sal's been raving about that to BT, so hopefully he does join next time we do that, because Sal loved it, dude.
I know, and next time we'll do it where the owner will be there. It'll be great. And we're going to bring wings. So when he comes back in February, we're bringing wings for lunch one day. George already said he's going to go there and bring you guys lunch. I'll go down to the state. But getting down to the Giants and then the Yankees. Remember the Giants. Here, this is the problem. And if you got to really look at it, you follow the Giants, you work for them. Here's the problem they have. They had the number one pick. Now they have the fourth pick. Now they're going to lose because Philadelphia's not playing one. They can go to the seventh pick. Now, they say teams don't bag it. Of course they're going to bag it. Did you hear what happened with New England today or last night? They said now the running back has a calf issue. The quarterback has an arm issue. They're going to bag that game. Number two, the Titans are playing Tennessee. Tennessee is not going to be playing a fourth starter quarterback. They're going to take it. They got the second pick. They need a quarterback. The Giants have just blown this completely in a disaster way from 3 weeks ago. It's the same way the Jets did it 2 years ago when they won the last game of the season and they didn't get the number one pick. The Giants have just destroyed themselves. And I can't understand why you would want either of these two quarterbacks, because they're not a franchise quarterback going forward. Take the best pick you can get, and then from there, next year is the pick. Manning says he wants to be a Giant. That's what you're going to get. So take another year. Sign anyone for a one-year contract, and whatever happens next year happens. But if the Giants win today, this would be 2 years out of the last five. Philadelphia gave us the Giants, fans. You know what? I don't want to say on there. That's number one. Now we get to the Yankees.
Okay.
It's true. You get to the Giants. Now you get to the Yankees.
Well, hold on. Before you get to the Yankees. Like, first of all, the fact that you're talking about Manning next year, I mean, who's to say that they're going to be in a position to draft him? Who's to say he's gonna leave to go to the draft?
I'm going to tell you why. First of all, look at the Giant team, and then look at, I don't know if it was you, I was listening to the afternoon with Evan, look at the Giants' schedule next year. That Giant team can't, how many games do you think the Giants are going to win next year where they're playing? They'll be lucky if they win four or five games. And the team has so much work to do that they're not going to be able to compete to make the playoffs next year. That's for sure, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Go look at the schedule, Hoff. Look at it. They got to play the 49ers. They got to play Kansas City. They got to play, I forgot who else they play. They're not going to win more than four or five games next year. They have no offensive line. I mean, their defense is not that great. They don't have a quarterback.
But here's the thing, okay? And it all depends. I'm not sure if Shane's going to be around to do it. I hope he is. But they have $15 million to spend next year. They have a lot of money to spend. A lot of money's coming off the books. They have a lot of money to spend. If they allow Shane to do it well, dude, they could bulk up that team nice. They really can.
Okay. All right. That's all they do. But you know what? If they want to give Shane to do it, they give him a new contract, Dan. Go give him another 2-year contract. I say, here, well, you're not going to be fired. You're going to run this team. You said you could get us to the promised land. Give him a new contract. And that would end all the BS with this whole thing here. But if you're going to let him go for one last year of lame duck and he blows this, like everyone said, and if he trades for the, would you trade up now for get a quarterback in this year's draft? Would you trade up?
No.
Okay. I hope he doesn't do it, but here's the problem. Everyone is going to push him. The Giants don't have a quarterback. Who's going to be the quarterback next year? If they don't get these two quarterbacks, who's going to be the quarterback next year? That's the number one question. So we'll see what happens there. But now I'll have to get to the Yankees.
Yeah, go get to the Yankees.
Okay, great. Okay, with the Yankees, everyone on the stations always complaining about Cashman. He's horrible. I want to get rid of him and everything. And I'm one of the few guys that said, who else would you want better? Cashman, I think he's done a great job this year. I mean, now Hal has to open up the bank books some more that he's not going to do. The Yankees have got everything that they needed. They stepped up there. They have a first baseman. They got a closer now. Their bullpen is strong. They need one position, a third baseman. It's just amazing that he wanted to spend $742 million for Soto. Now he says, well, the bank's closed. He doesn't want to go for a third baseman. The Yankees have a problem there. They're like, what are you going to put? It'll be DJ LeMahieu there. He's been injured for the last 3 years, and Cabrera is horrible. So the only one of the guy you can bring up there to get the team to have a third baseman is to bring Peraza, let him play second, and then
they're saying Jazz going to second base. They're going to get a third baseman. So who do you want? You want Bregman or you want Arenado?
How many years left does Arenado have left on his contract?
Three. He's got three.
That's
years.
What I'd go for. I would go with Bregman. Bregman. I like Bregman better.
But he wants 6 years. You okay with that?
I'm okay with 6 years, but what else do you do?
And he's a cheater.
Yeah, he is a cheater. That is true. He's a cheater, but what else is he going? But hold on a second. Who else is on that team, too, with the cheating? Wasn't Cole there?
I think he was there for a little bit when they cheated, yeah. They settled that, though, I think.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Hoss. You put Bregman there at third base. That team, now you have a full lineup. I mean, you're stacked all over the place, and then you can argue at the last day everyone will agree with me. We have no bench, but that's you can fill in there. But you need a third baseman to get some production out of there, and Bregman's the perfect guy to come here. He wants to come here. And Hal said he's willing to give $745 million for Soto. So give him his money and call it a day. And then trade Stroman to get rid of him anyway. Get rid of him for whatever it is. There's $15 million right there. There's your money, Hoff. There's your money.
I mean, listen, I hear you, Mitchell. Thanks so much for the phone call, bro. Appreciate you.
All right.
See you later.
I'll talk to you soon, Hoff.
All right, Mitch. Yeah, it's interesting. I got to be honest with you. You won't give 6 years to Pete Alonso who is, I understand, he's not Bregman because, quote unquote, he's not a good defensive player. But Alex Bregman, like, he's had some injury issues where Pete Alonso doesn't. His numbers, let's see, where's his numbers at? His numbers have been consistent, I guess, over the years. His games played last year, he missed about 20 games. 2021 was awful for him. But, yeah, I mean, he's been consistently okay, but his numbers fell off a little bit last year. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Everyone's more willing to give Bregman the long-term deal, and I just don't know if that's the way to go either. Now, defensively, yes, I get it. He is a better defender than Pete Alonso, but Pete Alonso's not that bad. And yeah, I mean, his average has gone down the past 3 years, but we don't care about batting average. We don't care about the batting average anymore. That is long gone. We got to talk about the OPS. Last year's OPS was 768. Compared to his batting, his career, which is 848. So he's dipping a little bit too. His numbers have not been, now he's been consistently a 20 home run hitter, 20 plus home run hitter the last 3 years. He hit 31 and 41 in 2018, 2019. Let's see. Anything else sticks out as far as, yeah, he's got a lot of doubles. Listen. Bregman, not a bad player. I'm not sure what his defense is like these days. I know he's a good defense, but I feel like he's got back. I know Arenado has back issues. Back issues, shoulder issues. I don't remember what Bregman's issues are, but I do know that there's something. I have to find that out. So I'll find that out after the break. 888-808-1019. Jay, Jeff, hang on. We'll get to you guys after the break as well. 888-808-1019. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete Hoffman with you on the fan for another hour and 10 until Richard Neer takes over at 5. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN on social media. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. If you've missed anything at all, just hit the rewind function and just go check it out. Now, just a note on Alex Bregman. I do remember he had elbow issues last year. He ended up getting bone chips removed. He played 142 games, 145 games, all third base. There was rumors that he was going to go to first base or DH, but he ended up playing just the third base for the Astros. But again, bone chips were removed. That happens. So is there anything lingering on? We'll find out. Also, on another side note too, Charlie Morton signed a contract. I believe he's Baltimore Orioles, right? Charlie Morton signed with them. And I was, you know, for the Mets, that was a name that I thought would have worked out. I thought that the Mets could have, if they're going to go this route of short-term, you know, three-year deals for some guys, but they don't want to go too much for, Charlie Morton's a guy who, I understand he's 41 years old, but last year, he went 8-10, 4.19 ERA, 167 strikeouts, 1.32 whip. Like, he pitches. He just does. So I thought that that would have been maybe, again, you're not going to have to overpay like Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander and give him $40 million. No, I mean, it was, what was the deal for? It was, how much was it? 15 mil. 15 mil was all it was. Not saying that they had to. Is that the right move to do? Is that the right move for the Mets to do? Is go get a one year vet bring him in and hope he's got something left in the tank. That's more for the back end of the rotation. But I feel like everything's a back end of the rotation besides Sean Manaea and Kodai Senga. And again, I still don't trust Kodai Senga yet. He's not. I know he had his first year. He was good. But last year he didn't play. So I don't know what we're going to get out of Kodai Senga. So I feel like you need a little more. And we'll find out. I mean, there's a lot of desire coming from that starting rotation. I'll tell you that much. 888-808-1019. Jay is in. Oh, hold on. Wrong guy. Jay is in Long Island. How are we doing, Jay?
Jay. Hey, what's up, Hop? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bro. What's up?
Just wanted to say real quick, I love listening to Rico, you and Evan. You guys really go through it all the time. You guys keep me going through my overnight. So keep up the great work with that. And,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. One of the things that Evan mentioned when he referenced an episode from a year ago, and I thought it was a pretty funny thing because you guys were talking about should we bring over Monty or not? And it's funny how Evan was like, we're pretty much doing the exact same thing now, a year later, you know, and I know you didn't really like the move for Monty a year ago. I just feel like, you know, the D-backs owner was looking to get rid of this guy before he went and signed Corbin Burns. I just feel like right now it's such a low-risk move for us to make. It would strictly just be a salary dump. I don't see us having to give up anything for it.
Evan said Starling Marte. I'm like, if we're just looking for a salary dump, I'm not looking to give up much. I mean, Marte to me is too much. I feel like you can get I feel like you can get something else out of Marte. Like Marte last year towards the end of the season looked like he was better. And I feel like, you know, maybe there's something left of the tank. I don't feel like I need to rely on him, but I feel like you can get something more than Jordan Montgomery. Montgomery was so bad, and you're right. Like, they're just looking to get rid of him. So, offer a bag of balls, you'll get Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah. Now, we don't know what we'll get out of him, of course, but, I mean, we've seen what Hefner can do with certain guys. I mean, I'm not telling anything you don't already know. But I just think it's an interesting move to kind of round out our rotation. And last thing I wanted to mention was he mentioned something about you guys going down to spring training. I'm going in March. I just didn't know. You guys plan? You have anything? Any like week set up yet that you're going to be going down there? Or
nothing official. So I don't want to say that with the hope of you running into us because it's nothing's official. So I know that we want to go down. Just nothing yet is marked off on the calendar. So, but once it is, I promise you will find out. And it sounds like Evan is. We're definitely going. Whether it's the weekend he wants to or not, I know that there's a couple different dates out there. That's why. So, but the other thing too, just to get back to the whole. What was the first part that you wanted to get Jordan Montgomery? Jordan Montgomery, and thanks so much for the phone call, Jay. I appreciate it. Jordan Montgomery, here's the thing about Jordan Montgomery. I don't know if I really want him. Like, there's better pitchers that, especially right now, like the Mets roster, the Mets pitching rotation is not great. I don't know if I'm looking at Jordan Montgomery and be like, oh, let's trade for him, and hopefully he's just had a really rough season in Arizona. He's going to rebound. He's going to be amazing. Like, we're having so many of those. I know I just was talking about Charlie Morton. Like, hey, get Charlie Morton for 15 mil for 1 year and see what he could do. But, like, we keep on going down that road. I don't want to trade for somebody that I'm going to have to hope, cross my fingers, turns into something special. I want to get, like, Luis Castillo. Or how about Zach Gallen? And I don't think they're going to trade Zach Gallen, but there's a couple guys that are going to be free agents. So if they're not going to pay them, maybe they will trade them instead. Like, I don't know if they're going to trade Jordan. I don't think they're going to keep Jordan Montgomery. But they have a bunch of guys on the rotation, and a couple of them are going to be free agents soon. So maybe somebody else is more appealing. Like, Zach Gallen, to me, would be more appealing. Let's go to Jeff in Boca Raton. 888-808-1019 is the phone number, by the way. Pete Hoffman, the only fan. Jeff, what's up, buddy? How we doing?
Good morning. I guess this must have been said already, but I watched the Knicks. Pretty obvious why they lost, and they're going to have trouble with these quality teams. I look at the box score, and they got nothing off the bench. Nothing. 5 points. The other team, Oklahoma, got 50 points off their bench.
Yeah, but how many bench players did they play? They gave guys more time, more opportunity. There was more guys to a bench. When you have OKC that has a fast style, a younger team, they have SGA who's just fantastic. But like again, even he gets more rest than Brunson and Hart, and it's just right now the Knicks have a struggle with the amount of time that they have to have the starters on the court.
Yeah, it's four. All of them played over 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the other team, nobody played 40 minutes. And if Robinson comes back, I mean, he's not going to give you a lot of points, right?
Mitchell Robinson has his moments. Again, he's more of like maybe a double-double once in a while. He's more of a rebounder, a good defense. Can he get some offensive rebounds and put it back? Yeah, okay, that's a possibility. But you're not really looking for him to score as much. But the thing is this, I'm not really sure what we're looking for on Mitchell Robinson. How long are we looking for Mitchell Robinson for? Like, how long is he going to last? You got to be delicate with him, and it's unfortunate. That's why him and Hartenstein was so good last year, because they were able to trade off minutes. Like, as soon as Mitchell Robinson got into trouble, whether it was foul trouble, whether it was, just getting tired, you throw Isaiah in there, and you have a good balance of players. And it's just unfortunate that right now, you don't have that balance, and he's not there. So it's just, you're missing two guys right now. Missing Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, you just need another scorer, at least one more. It's just too many minutes to play the starters. Yeah.
No, Jeff, you're right, man. I appreciate the phone call. 100% right. It was the Knicks game. It was a good game. It was high-paced. It was fun. It was entertaining. Knicks played great the first three quarters, and the fourth quarter they just kind of died out, and that's what happens when you're able to play high pace basketball and be able to sub players in for your starters like the Thunder can do. Meanwhile, the Knicks, every starter, like we said, like Jeff just said, everybody played over 40 minutes. There's going to be games in the crunch time situation that teams that have more flexibility, they're going to wear you out. And Knicks are a little bit of an older team. They are. Brunson, they're not so old, but they're not as young as the Thunder. Let's put it that way. 888-808-1019. E-Frank, Dave, we'll get to you guys coming up after the break. Again, everything out there, Jets. Giants, last game of the season for both teams this weekend. Thank goodness. What's next for both teams? Mike Vrabel was in the house for the Jets, and he left. So that's not shocking. 888-808-1019. We'll get into that and more, plus Pete Alonso and the Knicks. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you. Hit me up at Hoff WFAN. But now, an update. Marco Bolletti.